There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, our daily podcast that's a roundup of the very best bits of our show from Wednesday, the 19th of February.
This morning we're going vegan.
She said she was vegan, 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 just to get with me.
Don't take our word for it. That's the way the wind is blowing down at Gulf Food this year, the big trend. Well, you said there was a big five trends, didn't you, Tom? What were the big five?
Yeah, so the fives that Truebell have come up with. So healthy frozen foods, which I find surprising because everyone just gets stuff delivered these days, don't they?
I guess so, yeah.
And yet healthy frozen foods are on the list. Asian cuisine is one of the big trends as well. When has it never been?
Asian cuisine comes to Dubai.
Shock. Hold the front page, everybody.
You and I both used to live in Karama.
Exactly.
In the 90s. Believe me, it's been around a while.
That's that one's. I'm not sure if that's a trend in 2020. Maybe it has just been since 1820. Next up, we got plant-based and vegan. So that's one of them. And then you've got meat substitutes. That's four of them. And then you've got everything else in between, because number five is rather is put together as this: local and organic produce and collagen-rich and gluten-free foods and drinks.
Brandy has the collagens. Have you had those collagen balls that Brandy's got?
I don't even know what they are.
So
I thought they were something you put on your face.
Well, so did we. And she says it gives her really shiny hair. They're kind of energy balls, a bit like the things that Chris Fade sells, but about four times the size.
Oh, right.
And it's kind of like an energy thing.
Okay.
But it's full of collagen and you eat it. It doesn't taste that bad, but apparently it gives you really nice shiny hair.
What is collagen? I mean, yeah, no, you're right, isn't it? Collagen is what is in shampoo, isn't it?
Well,
shampoo.
And what vain people, possibly like some Business Breakfast presenters, get injected into their cheeks. Anyway, you can eat it, apparently. It's a thing. Brandy knows about it. The guys at Truebell, not the only ones, joking apart, who've picked up on veganism, plant-based meat substitutes as a big trend. We've been talking to the guys at KPMG, and their latest research on the food industry in this region has just come out. Vikrant Rohatgi is the Global Strategy Group Chief for KPMG in the Lower Gulf region. He's been talking with our producer, Shruti Rajendran, about the big trends this year.
A lot of consumers that we surveyed are saying that they are looking to eat healthy, at least during the weeks, and weekends they might indulge a bit, but there is definitely a rise in the health consciousness and, you know, the awareness around the type of food that consumers are eating. Operators have told us that they see a marked increase in veganism and vegetarianism. This is not something that we've heard this year alone. I think last 2-3 years we've been hearing this, but we see a lot of operators are actually now not just noticing it, but doing things around it.
And that's interesting. From 2 or 3 years of talking about it to this year really doing it. Even the Kiwis are at it. Now, when you think of New Zealand, you think of New Zealand lamb, you think of New Zealand dairy.
Rugby.
Oh, rugby, okay, fine. Lord of the Rings. But in terms of food, lamb and dairy are two of the big things that you associate with New Zealand. And of course, they're still doing that. But even they're going plant-based. Tony Martin is the director for this region at New Zealand Trade and Enterprise. And he told us about a new milk coming out of New Zealand, but it's not coming out of a cow.
And so here at Gulf Food this week, we have a company called Blossom Hill, who is marketing a new pea protein vegan milk.
Now, we need some spelling here, because on the radio, P-E-A, the
yes.
Green garden peas.
Correct, yes.
Thanks for clarifying that.
I thought it was just the accent, but yeah.
Yeah, so the milk based from green garden peas.
Exactly, that's right. So no, they're not green garden peas, it's a yellow pea.
Okay.
Yes.
Go on.
And so yellow pea is being used in other meat alternatives that you may be...
You're going to have to work on the marketing for this one somehow. I don't know.
Maybe change the name. I don't know.
Ah, Malcolm will be proud of us niggering. It's such a puerile joke. But it's a serious thing. Alternatives to dairy, alternatives to meat is a big deal. And in fact, you've just been talking to a Dutchman about this, haven't you? Reinier Veerman, who's here for Gulf Food with plant-based alternatives.
Yeah, they've just brought a number of a variety of new products to the market here at Gulf Food. I mean, this is the company. They are one of the leading global producers of plant-based products. And he was very quick to point that out. Did notice as well how Reinier mentioned, you know, we don't like to call it dairy alternatives. We'd like to call it plant-based alternatives. And it is this, it's the sort of vocabulary that goes along with this. And I suppose that's where I get bogged down in a lot of the, because it's not jargon. It's certainly not jargon because it's obviously got reason and it is a multi-billion dollar industry. But a lot of the titles sort of seem to lead you a little bit astray for the alternatives. But he was talking about the demand here in the Middle East, the diversity of the demographics and how that was driving their sales. And therefore, that's why they've brought several new products to market here, including
I mean, they're established brands of things like, I can't believe it's not butter,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, so they've brought a Flora plant butter and a Flora plant cream and a Flora portion pack to market this week down at Gulf Food, just part of the sort of offerings they have. But obviously, potential upfield, one of the largest producers, and going large at Gulf Food this year. So cashing in with the demand from the region.
Yeah, he says there are two, he says lots of things driving this, but two main drivers in particular.
If you look at the global trends, people are shifting away from dairy for very good reasons. One, health. Dairy has an implication on health. And if you look at plant-based alternatives, they are just much more healthy. And everybody knows that. Second is obviously the impact on the planet. I don't want to make it too dramatic, but dairy has a huge impact on climate change. Whether it be meat production or dairy production, it's just one of the biggest causes of climate change.
That's the views of Reinier Veerman of Upfield.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Got an Instagram poll running this morning. Are you eating more vegan and plant-based food? 59% of people say yes, Tom.
Which sort of leads on to our conversation throughout the course of this morning. Can plants conquer the region's carnivorous cravings? To try and sum it up, we understand that the year 2020 could be yet another regional watershed for the alternative meat revolution, judging by the number of plant-based alternatives headed to UAE supermarkets over the next few months. And currently, down at the Dubai World Trade Center, being tried by all sorts of visitors for Gulf Food 2020. Now, one company that's hoping to capitalise on that is Sharjah-based Healthy Farm, bringing its new range of meat-free and reduced meat burgers, kebabs, meatballs, wraps and all to the event. They're here in studio to talk to us about what sets them apart and what really does the market mean to them and others here in the region. The homegrown Sharjah-based food company doing some pretty revolutionary things right in our own backyard. Their CEO is Jacek Plewa. He joins us live in studio. Jacek, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure being here again, and thank you for having me.
So I'm trying to get, I'm trying to get a take at the moment on these numbers. I'm getting bamboozled. I'm getting very confused by numbers. A lot of people telling me that the plant-based, the meat alternative markets has huge potential, all sorts of numbers doing the rounds. As a man in the know, how big a market could it be or can it be potentially?
Yes, we see the global industry of meat is $1 trillion industry. So that's the size of a meat industry. When we see the meat alternatives itself, it's 18.6 as per available data. And across the Middle East, it's touching $180 million. So it's on the rise, it's on the grow. It's basically reflecting the shift of consumer preference. So we are very, very pleased at Healthy Farm that we are part of that change in the game. Having the ambition as well to be a disruptor in the current situation.
Well, I like that. Richard will attest to the fact that I like the fact that you're using the word disruption as well, because it is a very competitive market all of a sudden. So how do you set yourself apart? How do your products set yourself apart from the others?
At Healthy Farm, we put we are so relentlessly committed to the excellence of the product in terms of the taste, in terms of the recipe, in terms of the product performance. So our recipes are all natural. And if you look into our recipes, we believe in clean eating. So those recipes are minimized in terms of the ingredients. So we're using really the top class ingredients, but at the same time, making sure that the quality of the product and the taste at Healthy Farm is superior. So we're using pea proteins in our recipes, not soya, which appears to be allergen. So it's the base. And looking again into the number of the ingredients, we are like half versus other international players. So that's important because consumers today, they want to see something which is more natural, which is something which gives less complexity. They understand the ingredients. So, and that's what we do at Healthy Farm.
You're based in Sharjah. That's where these new products are being created at the moment. We've just had in studio one of the biggest plant-based international producers, Upfield, who are now looking to the market. What benefit does it give you as a producer in this field, producing in the region rather than being a global one looking to the region?
I think we are very fortunate being here because the environment in UAE itself is so progressive, is so keen on innovation. So being a part of that environment, I think naturally we have a good ground to grow and make that difference. We use as well integration to the local resources. So in our model, we're integrating back into the farming, to the agriculture, part of the important strategy of food security of the government. So we have our own farm, which is aquaponic farm, where we grow organically vegetables like kale. Kale becomes part of the recipe for our Healthy Farm products. And again, we work with some of the international renowned institutions like IGBA, which is the International Centre for Bioscience Agriculture, where we develop jointly a product based with salicornia. So we managed to reduce the salt in our patties by 40%. So we're establishing completely new benchmark for industry, knowing that if you consume more than 5 grams of salt, that affects your heart function. So clearly we're challenging at Healthy Farm and bringing new standards for the industry. So we are very well positioned working locally and leveraging those resources which the country provides.
So Jacek, it's one thing producing healthy food or producing products. It's another thing getting them onto supermarket shelves. Massive competition for any food producer to get in supermarket shelves. But I'm looking on the Carrefour website now and I can buy your stuff at Carrefour online. How do you get into the supermarkets? How do you knock down that door of the product buyers?
I think it comes from the consumers. When we feel that we are wanted, and because that consumer's trend is on that side, then it's our responsibility to provide that, to make it available. And being honest in our declaration and being clean label manufacturer, we say we have nothing to hide. The choice is yours.
And I get that, but just to get in the room to be able to make that pitch is not easy. How did you knock that door down?
I think, again, it's about bringing that forward and hearing from the consumers that that's what they want. So when we go and meet our business partners, they're saying, yes, we see it. Absolutely, it's on the rise. You have a relevant products for the consumers, so we want you to be a part of the offering.
Yeah, so help me out with something, please. And forgive me if I come across as being a little bit simple here. But why if somebody wants to take a plant-based alternative, why do they want to go for something that's reinventing meat? Are we not just reinventing the wheel of vegetarianism? If you want plant-based, eat vegetables. Why this demand for something that recreates the taste of meat but isn't meat?
Yeah, I think it's coming from our habits of eating meat. We consume in the UAE 79 kilograms of meat. So we are quite heavy in terms of meat consumption. So naturally, we see people develop a taste for meat. And they've been looking for understanding the health benefits, they were looking for alternatives. So 40% of the consumers saying, yes, we are keen to look for a healthier alternatives. So we're providing that option, and the research recent research indicates even higher number of the people who are keen and to go for healthier options. Mm. So people are concerned about the health. So meat alternatives and plant-based proteins is a very viable, sustainable, environmentally supportive alternative, because the current model of the industry, of the meat industry, uses so much of the resources, being responsible for so much of greenhouse gases emission. And the whole model is not sustainable. We have...
Jacek, we're out of time. Sure. We're going to have to leave it there. Fascinating conversation. Thanks very much indeed for talking to us. Jacek Plewa is the CEO of Healthy Farm and Healthy Farm Food Innovation here in the UAE. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me here.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-sized Business Breakfast.
Let's talk raising money now for small and medium-sized companies, one of the biggest challenges facing companies here, which is why last night at the Etisalat Dubai SME seminar, it was the focus of our attention. How do you solve this problem? We've been speaking to a range of experts, starting with Carl Fielder, CEO and chairman of The Neutral Group. They're the company that takes the fat from McDonald's and uses it to power their trucks as biodiesel. And he's long been a campaigner on the issue of SME funding. Began by asking Carl, what's the problem facing SMEs here when it comes to raising cash?
Well, the real problem is that the finance industry doesn't trust SMEs. They think we're all a bit flighty, they think we're all a bit flash. But in track record terms, they see a lot of people defaulting on debt. But when you look into that in some detail, why are they defaulting on the debt? It's because the situation has been stacked up against them. The whole way that we do finance here is a problem. You have no recourse against people who don't pay you here if you're an SME. And the big trigger for most of the problems of default are due to big companies not paying small companies on time. So if we could fix that thing, then we would fix the reliability and the credibility of the SMEs, and then the banks would be prepared to lend to them. They could charge realistic interest rates as opposed to the punitive ones they charge at the moment, and the whole economy would benefit.
So how have you got round this problem? Various ways, I know, over the years.
Well, we've factored, we've used short-term loans where possible. We've actually gone out to the market and we've listed a bond on the stock exchange. We became the first green bond out of the Middle East. But these things are all quite creative and they're not necessarily for everybody. I think the best thing you can do is to sell and pick your customers very carefully.
Not easy raising money here, but also not impossible. Amberine Moussa has done it, founder and chief executive of Souq Al-Mal, the price comparison site. They've raised at least $10 million so far in equity funding.
So fundraising has never been really easy in the region. And I think when we started 7 years ago, it was still a very, very nascent environment. There was the first VC was just starting up. Bigo Capital was just starting up at the time. So a lot of it comes down to knowing who you're targeting as investors. Unfortunately, the Middle East hasn't been that well known for the last 7 years out for the international investors. So as there was no real funding in the region when we started fundraising, we had to go outside. But then the international investors weren't going who are about the Middle East. So there was a lot of education. So the way we overcame that issue was we had to do a lot of education to the investors about the market size and what we were doing here. And the advantage we had was we were a Me Too business, which meant it was something that has worked outside. And so the risks of investing in us were a bit lower. They know the business model. They understood it. It was a market that they didn't know. So that meant we had to start a lot earlier than what we would normally do when we had to start fundraising.
And what are the things you did perhaps a little differently in your most recent round of fundraising, a couple of years ago now, wasn't just venture capitalists, but it was a global, if you like, competitor or comparison business of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. In the last round of funding, Go Compare, UAE Exchange, and we had Taknia Fund came in. And I think this, the last round, we thought of the business very differently. It was less about just growing for VC funding, but it was really about starting to look at the different partners we could set up in the region. I think we all know to scale up in this region, partnerships and relationships are pretty much number one thing you need to know. And associating yourself with the right people and the right companies strategically does help a huge deal in actually scaling up, which is what happened. We've now scaled up in Bahrain, imminent license in Saudi Arabia. So it's actually really, really helped. From a GoCompare perspective, we've had a lot of knowledge from marketing, product. We had the founder of GoCompare spending 2 weeks with us, really going through the business and helping us understand what it was like when they started and they were our age, if you want to call it.
20 seconds, what's the one piece of advice you'd give someone who's starting out now?
Know your numbers inside out. So when you're talking to an investor, make sure you understand your business, because they're looking at you as a founder. It's less about the business. It's all about you. And can you actually handle your business as you should?
That's Ambery Musa of Sukal Mal on raising money. What about the banks? Dheeraj Kunwar, Managing Director of Business Banking at Rak Bank, by far the biggest SME bank in the country. 23-24% market share, they reckon they've got. We asked him, what are the big challenges your clients are facing?
Because of the challenging market times, the turnover seems to be volatile. And as long as that is explained properly, that's not such a bad thing. As long as the case is presented in a transparent and a quantifiable manner. So what we work with clients that shows the business cycle and show that how are you mitigating your business risk. And as long as you know your business and it is generating cash, we are there to support.
Banks aren't the only game in town when it comes to raising money. Steve Williams is the founder of a company called Linklease. They do a lot of leasing work with medical equipment and others. Producer Shruti began by asking him, what are the big challenges SMEs are facing with mainstream bank financing at the moment?
So mainstream bank financing is really important. It takes care of a specific sector of lending, particularly in the SME market, but it is quite narrow. And it relies on very specific sets of criteria. And lots of businesses don't fit into those criteria. So if your balance sheet is too small, or if your turnover doesn't fit the required ratios, you're not going to be able to always get the finance that you're required, that you need. And so that's one of the critical problems with mainstream bank financing.
Finally, hearing from someone who you might describe as the godfather of fundraising in this region at the moment, Michael Layani, CEO and founder of Property Finder. Their last round of fundraising raised more than $100 million from overseas venture capital funds, valuing the company at around about $500 million. We said you've been in both scenarios, raising just a couple of million dollars and also hundreds of millions of dollars. What's the difference?
So I think the main difference is when you're raising $5, $10 million, you're selling a vision, you're selling a dream, you're selling an opportunity that you're going to go and chase. And when you're raising $100 or $150 million, then you're really selling a business. And so you need to have proper P&L in place and show that you are close to profitability or profitable, if not already, and that you'll be chasing bigger market shares, but you're no longer at risk.
And finally, what advice would you share to people who are trying to raise money at the early stages now? What are the one or two key lessons you've learned along the way?
Probably that they should run a tight process, meaning that they shouldn't be speaking to 25 different people at the same time. They should select who do they want to have as investors, 5, 10, and then run a really tight process and control the timing of that process and how they share information simultaneously to all these potential investors.
Michael Layani of Property Finder, the founder there, talking to us last night at the Etisalat SME Business Seminar. Next one will be coming in a couple of months' time. Stay tuned for details.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Tribal have revealed the top five food trends for 2020 ahead of Gulf Food 2020. Healthy frozen foods, Asian cuisine, plant-based and vegan meat substitutes, local and organic produce, and collagen-rich and gluten-free foods and drinks are those that make it onto the list. Now, that is, of course, a local survey. Just look at any of the international surveys and you will see that plant-based, vegan and meat substitutes are just some of the demands of the food and beverage industry worldwide at the moment. That's why we've seen such an upturn in the exhibitors at Gulf Food this year. To get more perspective on this one, a special guest joining us live here in studio, a man and a company that knows a thing or two about innovation. In fact, they've been at the forefront of innovation in plant-based food and beverage alternatives for a large part of the brand's rich 149-year history. Renowned the world over for leading plant-based brands like Flora, Stork, and of course, I can't believe it's not butter. To join us now here in the studio, we have the General Manager for North Africa and Middle East from Upfield, the world's largest producer of plant-based products. It's a warm welcome to Reinier Veerman, joins us live in studio. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you here in studio. Lovely to have you here in Dubai as well. Appreciate it's your first time. Upfield's second time. So Upfield were at Gulf Food last year, but on a much smaller scale. So why go large in 2020?
Well, I think we're just following demand in terms of the size of our booth. Now, last year we were for the first time at Gulf Food. I think we had quite a small booth because we were frankly very new to this region as a company. We have ever since set up a lot of distributors around the region in the Middle East and as well as North Africa. So we have basically expanded quite significantly just in the last 6 to 9 months. And we just wanted to represent that into Gulf Food with a much bigger presence.
You are a leading global producer of plant-based products. So given that presence in the world at the moment, why is the Middle East so important to you?
Well, first of all, Middle East and North Africa have more inhabitants than Europe. It's 380 million people. It's just an incredible market. It's very diverse. And I think what you see are a few things. One, the global trend in significant increase in demand for plant-based food is something that also reaches the Middle East and North Africa. There's no reason why it would not follow. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We see that every day, by the way, in our region as well. Second, if you look at the population that is most adaptable to plant-based food, which are a little bit younger people between, let's say, 15 and 35, if you look at that population around the globe, the urban population that are mostly the early adapters for these kind of trends, then all over the globe, these people have so much more in common than they are diverse. So young people in Amsterdam or Berlin or Bangkok or Indonesia or South America, they actually are waving the same waves globally. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So yes, we need to bring our great plant-based food into this region as well.
Is that one of the big challenges? You highlighted there the diversity of the region. Is that also a challenge as well in terms of the diversity of different cuisine or traditional cuisines that are inherent to this part of the world, which might not have embraced plant-based in the past? Is that part of the challenge?
It is, but if you look at the European cuisine, the differences between the German cuisine and the Italian cuisine cannot be bigger, I would say. And that's obviously what you see here as well. But indeed, I think the plant-based food trend is actually showing off here as well. Mm. But there are lots of traditional dishes that can be more adaptive for that too. And that's exactly what we're doing, because if you just look at the health issues, for instance, in the North Africa and Middle East, more than 70% of people are overweight and more than 30% of people are obese. Mm. So if you look at that, I think it is important, too, that plant-based food is going to be a better and much more used alternative in dishes. Because something needs to change.
Because one thing that we've talked about already on the show today is dairy alternatives. And I know, yes, this is something you guys are very, very strong on. And again, you know, I've been here in 20-odd years, and dairy is something that is fairly new or fairly unique in parts of this region as well. Is that part of a challenge, coming up with a dairy alternative to a market that hasn't fully embraced dairy in the past?
Well, I think, and by the way, we prefer to call dairy a plant-based alternative, mm, but nevertheless, now if you look at dairy, I don't think that we have any challenge with regard to dairy. Mm. If you look at the global trends, people are shifting away from dairy for very good reasons,
yeah,
because of two reasons. One, health, dairy has an implication on health, right? And if you look at plant-based alternatives, they are just much more healthy, and everybody knows that. Second is obviously the impact on the planet, right? I don't want to make it too dramatic, but dairy has a huge impact on climate change, right? Whether it be meat production or dairy production, it's just one of the biggest causes of climate change. So just in that respect, and I think that's what you would see worldwide, that people are just much more conscious in terms of what they eat. And they should be, because we need to change something, right? And the good thing is that plant-based food is actually just delicious. And if you compare that with 10, 15 years ago, we call that wave one plant-based food. Those were the, how do you call that, the first products that really would be able to be an alternative for dairy, but they were still maybe not the best taste or the best performance. But that has totally changed in the last 10 years.
Running out of time, just quickly in 30 seconds or so, what are the alternatives? What are you bringing to market? What are you launching at Gull Food this year?
We are bringing plant-based butter, which we are going to launch, which is a great tasting butter. It actually performs better than butter in all the consumer tests. We're launching that in the second half of this year. We have great, beautiful, best performing creams, which is the number one creams in Europe, which we are bringing to chefs here in the Middle East and North Africa, and many other products. So I just want to invite everybody to obviously come to our booth at Gull Food.
Get yourself down there. Say hi to Rainer and the rest of his team as well from Upfield. Rainer Veerman is the General Manager, North Africa, Middle East, Upfield. Enjoy Gull Food. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.